do a little review then. What was week one? Foundational block for week one?
The Bible.
The Bible. Good book. His story. Week two? We talked about what? God's sovereign. The sovereignty of God, that he is over all, that he is above all, that he rules. Right? Week three? What was that?
The angels.
The angels, right, the angels. And what do we learn about angels?
They're spirits.
They're spirit beings, right. And they were created for us?
For God.
For God. Created for God. And week four? This is building block four.
Creation.
Creation, right. And we learned that we went through six days of creation pretty quick, and so we saw God's attributes in creation as he created everything. And then last week we learned about who? Huh?
Adam
and Eve, right? We learned about Adam that God created, and what part of what about this part of creation it makes it the coolest or the best? What was the, did anybody remember the Latin words?
Magnum opus.
Yep, magnum opus, yep. And that means finest creation, that you and I are God's finest work. God took time to create man out of the dust of the ground and not just speak it and said, hey, man is created. He actually took time. And then what else did we learn about the creation of man?
The breath of life,
yes. God breathed just right into his nostrils. So he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about, as Lynn said in last week, one of the neatest or greatest blessings to mankind. And so as we go into lesson six, someone can grab a couple verses here. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2. And last week, when we talked about man and God, we said God was talking to someone when he said, let us make man in our own image. Who was he talking to?
The Son and the Holy Spirit.
Right, Son and Holy Spirit. And what does it mean that man is created in God's image? Remember the three aspects that were created in God's image. We have this up here.
Mind,
emotions, and a will. Yeah, well, body, soul, and spirit, yes. God doesn't have a body, but the three aspects, mind, will, and emotions, those three things that God has each one of those. We have each one of those. And there was a responsibility given to Adam and Eve. What was their responsibility? What were they to do? Right, they were to manage the earth. They were to manage everything. And who watched as God created Adam and Eve?
The angels.
And more importantly, who else?
Satan,
Lucifer, yes. And the reason for that is, as we move forward there with that. So, Genesis 2:1. So, someone grab Genesis 2:1 and let's read that.
Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished.
Okay. So God created everything and it was all complete. What stands out to you? I mean, have you ever think of something that you've started and you never finished? I'm glad my wife's not here tonight. Okay? Because she would probably raise her hand and say, Matt, you started this project, and you didn't finish it all the way. Didn't complete it. But there are, obviously, we always can have that. God is not like us. He's not like us where we start something and we stop. When he puts something into motion, he finishes it. And in this passage, in this verse here, he said everything... was complete. Someone read Genesis 2, 2 through 3.
On the seventh day, God had finished his work, and so he rested. God blessed the seventh day and made it special, because on that day he rested from his work.
And verse 3.
That was verse
3?
Yeah.
Okay. Created everything in 6 days, and then he did something on the seventh day. What did he do?
Made it holy.
He rested. But does God need rest?
No.
I guess so. He rested.
Well,
he doesn't need rest.
Right. He does not need rest. God doesn't need anything. He didn't even need the earth. He didn't need the world. He didn't need us. But he created it, and he specifically set aside one day for rest. Now, that's an important thing. When you think about building something, a house or a piece of furniture or even just a painting, it takes time. And when you're done with that, what do you normally do?
You sit back and admire it.
And here's God taking time to build everything, create everything in 6 days, and then he takes time to sit back and rest and admire it. What were some of the things that God created during those 6 days? It's kind of a refresher, but...
The heavens,
the earth,
the trees, water, dry land,
yep. Light, birds, fish, man and woman. He could have just taken and just said that all at one time, right? There's a reason he did that. He put everything in plan. We learned that. And then he sat back and he's all done. Someone grab Isaiah 40, 28. This will kind of give us an understanding of why God sat back and rested. Or... He never gets weary, never gets tired. He sat back and rested because he had finished everything he had made. He was completely finished. Up until the next few verses. Genesis 2, 4 through 6.
This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was none for ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground.
Okay, so there's several things in these verses that change. One, there's a different name here for God. Lord, right? So from here on out, throughout the Bible, as we go through it, you're up to this point, you always heard it was just references him as God. Or the Spirit hovered over the waters, but he was referenced as God. Okay? Here, God puts in the Bible for us the word Lord God. Now, why would you think you would use the word Lord?
I think
because
Lord,
he reigns over. Okay, yeah. He is the eternal one. He's independent of everything. He is Lord. And the whole premise here is that as you begin to see, you'll begin to see God's names change. So you have God up through here, and then you'll see Lord God. Now, he'll reference himself as God later on as well, but you oftentimes will hear Lord God, and you might hear some other names. Okay, so just keep that in the back of your mind that as you're going through, he's referencing him as Lord God. When you think of a Lord, what is a Lord?
King.
Top ruler.
Top, king, someone who reigns, rules over. Lords over them, you hear that oftentimes. You hear the movie Lord of the Rings. So in there you have this reference of lording over something. But so from now on you'll see that. What else took place in here? What else did the writer here reference? And this is very important because later on when we get into some of the other lessons, you'll see this is why it's very important. What else was in these verses? Talk about the plants and
history.
What's that?
The record.
Yeah.
Water coming up from the ground.
Water coming up from the ground. Yes. So there's no rain. That's how the plants got their nutrition. Their water was from the ground, and God calls the mist to come up from the ground or springs. That's how everything. And today we would see some of that through like dew, but we also get rain from the sky. But at this point, all the way up through creation, and you'll see this later on as we get to the story of Noah, you'll see this. But there's no rain here. Okay? So everything got watered from the mist of the earth. Someone read Genesis 2, 7 through 8. Okay, so we have the story or the verse here that talks about God forming the man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathes into his nostrils, and then God does something very special for the man, and he plants this beautiful garden. It's a garden. Why do you think God planted the garden, first of all?
I feel like it was a way to show his beauty.
Show his beauty? Okay.
In the same way the garden took care of keeping Adam alive. But it was his choice to still eat everything.
Okay. I could go along with that. Anybody here ever plant a garden for somebody?
I help.
You help one?
For food?
Huh? For food, yeah. Yeah, for food. We plant gardens for food. Anybody here ever plant a bush for anybody? Rose bush, a flower bush for someone. We do that. So oftentimes people do that in remembrance of somebody. But there's a reason that God did this. God created this garden because he loved Adam. Okay? And he wanted Adam to have something that was beautiful. What would be another reason that God might plant a garden? You said it was because it was beautiful, wanted to show off his beauty. I think Ash said back there, he said because of something to eat, right? Yes, he needed something to eat. And God delighted in providing things for Adam. That says a lot. That says a lot about who God is. That God wants to provide for man. He didn't just expect us just to continue Adam to sit there and have to do everything himself. God wanted to provide something for him. Any questions or any thoughts?
Was it also maybe to give man a purpose, something to do?
Okay.
So they had a purpose?
Well, we'll get to that one. But that's true. He wanted man to do something. What else does it say he did? He says that he placed Adam in the garden. How come he didn't say, Adam, I built this beautiful, I created this beautiful garden for you, I planted it for you, and I would like you to go to live there. He didn't do that. I can picture God. Now, I don't know if this is literally what happened because the Bible doesn't say this, but I can picture God creating this beautiful garden for Adam, and then he picks up Adam, he brings Adam over and sets him in the garden. What's that?
He didn't have any work to do.
He didn't have any work to do. Yeah. Okay. But he didn't say, Adam, I would invite you to come and view this beautiful garden I made for you. He sticks him in there.
Right.
He places him in there. Adam didn't have a choice. Adam didn't have a say in that.
Maybe he was helping his basic instincts to grow.
Okay. Helping his basic instincts to grow. What do you mean by that?
You're here, you need to live, survive, provided for you. Now go ahead and build you a shelter, find a place to be safe.
Okay.
Eat.
Could be. Could be. I would say that he didn't have to worry about being safe because there was nothing at that point.
Yeah.
But you're right. He
shelter.
Just yeah, shelter. He needed
from
a place
what?
To
shelter from what?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. What? I mean, you got to. We can't imagine what this garden is like because
there was everything there.
Well, you look outside the window and you see dandelions growing, and you know there's something wrong with it. But at this point in creation, this
it's
garden
kinda like,
was beautiful. It was perfect. There's no blemish. There's nothing.
So he was kind of like teaching man, you know, what to, you know, the foods and different things and how to live. This is what you should do.
Well, let's hold on to that thought, because there is something about this. What does this tell you about God when he says that he placed Adam in the garden?
He had a purpose for him.
Huh?
He had a purpose for him.
He had a purpose for him? Okay.
Maybe
there's something else I'm looking for here.
It's involved in his creation, beautiful creations all together.
All beautiful creation all together? That's good.
I was thinking more like, you know, for even our children, we like to give them gifts.
You like to give them something? Sure.
Yeah, it's like...
Makes you feel good when you give somebody something, right?
Yeah.
This tells me that God will provide for us.
God will provide, yep. These are all right answers. There's no... I'm not saying there's any wrong answer. I'm looking for something else, though.
I kind of see it as God's kind of placing him in them because he wants to have him surrounded by beauty and love.
Okay. What about that this shows that God is in control of everything? The sovereignty of God, that he chose to place Adam right in the midst of this garden. It's his choice.
It's kind of like a period at the end of the sentence.
Kind of like a period at the end of the sentence. What do you mean by that?
Kind of like paper, and all your supporting details, everything that proves what you're trying to say.
Okay.
Always ends with a period.
So?
Because you put it there, that it ends. But in this essence, it was the beginning.
Okay.
Of law of support.
Amen. Let me just give a little. Restate this a little bit. What Matt is communicating. So often we look at God, let me back up. One of the things, if you haven't caught it by now, what Matt's been hammering home has been the different characteristics about God. These first 5-6 lessons here, we've been learning all these things about God, and so many times, and especially in our culture, we view God through a filter. And we look at God with a certain... And so, what's important to us? We want to see that in God. So, for instance, let's take the... Cody, you just said love. Okay, so that is something that is very... Something you would really want is a God that loves you, that cares for you. That would be something very valuable to you. To all of us. But one of the things we need to keep in mind with God is that all these characteristics are in balance. So just because God is loving does not supersede the fact that God is sovereign and in control, and that does not supersede that God is a creator. These are all equal characteristics of God. And so, and that's why Matt kept saying, you're right, these are all good things, but there's one characteristic you guys didn't come up with, and that was that God is still in control. And even though Adam was created in love, even though he made this beautiful place for him, God is still the authority over Adam. Adam is the creation. God is the creator. So I don't know, as I was sitting here listening to this, it also hit me that it's so easy for us to look at God through one set of lenses. But we need to keep all these characteristics in balance. Does that help you, Matt? Absolutely.
Who's been to the eye doctor? Yeah. We've all been to the eye doctor, right? You went to the eye doctor today. When the eye doctor sat you in that chair and he puts that thing up to your eyes and then he says one or two.
Three or four.
Right. And he flips these lenses in and out. That's what Lynn is in essence saying. Flip these lenses in and out as we view God through this. You have to flip in and out, okay? And so back and forth. I don't know. Maybe that's a illustration that help us as we go through this. But so God put him in the garden. He placed him in there. That demonstrated God's authority over Adam. And then he told Adam to do what? We haven't read that yet. So I'm going to read Genesis 2:9.
The Lord God caused to grow out of the ground every tree pleasing to the eye and good for food, including the tree of life in the middle of the garden, as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
So how many trees did God call us to grow?
Two.
There was two that he grew there, the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, all kinds. There was all kinds of trees in there. And they were to produce what? Some beautiful, delicious fruit, or they were, you know, and where did he place these other two trees?
In the middle.
Now, do you remember back when we were going over how the writers translated the Bible year after year over 1,600 years? Do you remember what they would do when they made a copy of the Bible? You remember what I was telling you about how they would copy that to make sure that it was accurate? I found this very interesting that God, in all of creation, put these two trees in the center of the garden. And when God's word was over 1,600 years, we know the Bible is 1,600 years authored through 40 different writers, but God, as the God authored and gave it to them, gave them the words, they would, when they copied it, they would go to the center of the book, to the center letter, to the center word, and then to the center letter. And they would work their way out so that they could maintain the integrity of the documents. Okay? Here God, the author, the creator of the world, put two things in the center of this garden. I thought that was very interesting. That was just something that was not part of the lesson here. So God planted in them. And then he says, and one of them is the tree of life. Who is the source of Adam's life?
God.
And how do we know that God was the source of Adam's life?
He breathed the breath of life.
He created him and he breathed into him, right? So we gave him into him. So there was no sickness on the earth. There was no death. There was no disease. But in order for Adam to live, he had to do what? What did Adam have to do? Why do you think God put the tree of life in the center of the garden?
Because
He had to eat. The tree of life represents what? What does it represent? Life, right? So in order for Adam to live, he needed to eat from the tree of life. There are some reasons here that God wanted Adam to willingly be able to choose to eat from the tree of life. So let me just share these with you, and if you want to write them down, you can. He wanted Adam to always remember that he had created him. Okay? God was the giver of his life, which we know that from him breathing life into his nostrils. He wanted Adam never to forget that, because God had created him. God had the right to tell him what to do. God was the authority over Adam's life. He wanted Adam never to forget that he was totally dependent upon God for every breath he took. Think about that. He wanted him to be totally dependent upon him and to remember that every breath he takes is total dependence upon God. Now, how many of you sit back and think about the breath that you just breathed?
We don't.
We don't give a thought to that, do we? And yet, what's that?
I said, we're depending on him too.
Yeah. And so that breath, that everything there, it's like God was Adam's life giver. He was the sustainer of life. Adam had to choose, though, to eat from this tree. He placed him in the garden, said, you can eat of every tree, but the tree of good and knowledge of good and evil. So he was not allowed to eat that. Someone reads Genesis 2, 16 to 17.
God gave him this warning. You may freely eat any fruit in the garden except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of its fruit, you will surely die.
Okay. What had God decided Adam needed? What's that? Sin needed some rules. How many of us need some rules? Okay, that's a good one. What does that tell you about God, though, when we use the word rules, that God had to put some rules there? I'm trying to think of a way to word this question without giving the answer away.
Well, if he gives us rules, then he must know that somewhere we can, that we have faults.
That we have
if
faults.
If there's
okay.
rules, I know what I mean.
Okay.
My question would be, why plant the tree in the first place?
Why plant the tree in the first place? Why did he put the tree in the, why did he put that one in there?
As, you know, like a temptation type of thing. I don't know.
Okay.
If we have free will, maybe, I don't know.
Was it the fruit that was bad?
No.
No? Did the fruit have all the knowledge? So in other words, did the fruit have all the knowledge of the world? Everything created inside it?
Was it the actual act of disobedience
Well, he hasn't disobeyed yet.
Right.
But go ahead.
I know that. But you're asking if the fruit had that in it.
Right. Well,
I don't know if the fruit actually can contain that, but the act of disobedience brought it about.
Okay. All right. The reason I say that... Oh, go ahead.
It's called a tree of knowledge and good and evil, right?
Uh-huh.
So once you partake of it, then you have that knowledge, obviously.
Okay.
I don't know that, I guess. But
God created it, so the fruit couldn't have been bad, right? It had to be good. Because God only created, everything God created was good, right? He said it was very good when he got done with creation.
That's correct.
And so when he created this garden, when he built this garden, when I say built it, I'm using the word built, but he created this garden and planted it for Adam. It had to be good, right? So, Why did God not want him to eat of it?
Maybe because he wanted to, like, teach us those ways.
Okay. Maybe he wanted Adam to be dependent upon God to know what is right and wrong, good and evil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Versus just being so angry to, like, want it now.
All right.
Wrong.
I'm listening. You say wrong. Vince's answer is wrong. Okay.
I'm going to pick. There's a small detail that's wrong.
Okay. Go ahead.
You said that because God wanted us to learn to know the difference between good and evil, there was no evil.
Yeah.
Not at that time.
Why did he call the tree good and evil?
Right. There was no
evil. Evil was good.
Right. Isn't like evil like the opposite of good?
Yes.
But at this point it was still good.
But there was no evil.
Right.
Why is it called the tree?
All that, but you're missing it. You got to grasp this. All that Adam knew was good. He did not know evil. So it would be like saying, the illustration is failing my mind. I thought it was going to pause. Okay, it would be like saying, how many of you have ever had lobster? Don't answer that. If you've never had lobster, it would be like saying that lobster is good. But until you had it, you don't know it. So it's like God is saying there is evil, but Adam had no idea what it was.
So he didn't know that it was bad. He just knew it was called evil.
I don't know the detail. I can't read Adam's mind. But what we're saying, we got to grasp this, that there was only good here. And that's all Adam knew.
But evil had to exist somewhere for there to be good and evil.
Right.
That is correct.
That's where it was. Okay.
And that happened
at Lucifer. Yeah.
Well, he gave him the consequence that he will surely die.
Right.
Not yet. We will get to that in just a few verses.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. I said I was picking Vince apart just a little bit there. Because
we read verse 17 where it said he will surely die.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Someone read those two verses again, though.
I was eating chocolate.
Somebody read those two verses again, because there is a reason. Verses 16 and 17.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may eat, may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die."
Correct. So, what Lynn is saying is correct. Adam wouldn't have known what death is like.
Right.
There was no death.
Right.
Nothing died. Everything lived. And so God is wanting Adam to be dependent upon him to know what is good and evil. Okay? But at this point, he doesn't know what evil is. He can't, because there was no evil on the earth.
And I'm going to pause just a little bit to continue what I started to say. We cannot wrap our brains around a time when we do not know evil.
Mm.
Right.
We can't grasp that.
Right.
And, you know, you were making fun of the dandelions out there. For all you know, there were fields of dandelions in the Garden of Eden, and they were considered beautiful.
Wow.
we don't know.
Right.
Okay.
We look at them and say they're evil.
That's true.
Okay.
Well, I don't know
okay.
that. But
so I'm saying, it's we can't comprehend what this is like,
yep.
But the foundational principle we have to grasp.
And
so the tree of life, he was free to eat.
Yes, could eat. He could eat from that as much as he wanted.
And we still can.
Well, we can't talk about that. So, if Adam disobeyed God, God said, you may eat of every tree, right? Every tree in the garden you can eat, except for this one tree. What was going to happen to Adam? He was going to die, right? He's going to die. All right, as someone read just verse 17 again.
So I have a question about that.
Okay.
So does that mean if God's saying that if you eat of this tree, in essence, you're gaining knowledge of evil, you will die. So could then, hypothetically speaking, if we did good our entire life, could we not face death? Is that possible?
Write that question down.
I was going to say, because you can't,
you're going to,
that answer to that question is going to come up in week 8.
Okay.
It will come up in week 8. Okay? Adam here was told he could not eat of that one tree, and if he did, he would die. I don't have a pen.
I've had a question that's came to mind the past couple of weeks. If Adam only knew good, and that's how God created him, then why did he even place the tree there for him to be tempted? It's almost like knowing that he was going to test him and say, hey, you know, you might disobey me. So it was almost like, was he knowing that he was going to disobey?
Was he setting him up for failure? That's a question I've asked. Why did he do that? He just basically set Adam up for failure then.
Yeah.
But then the choice wouldn't be there, right?
The choice wouldn't be there, right? If he didn't put it there, right?
I mean, for us to choose to follow God or not if we didn't know anything else.
Okay. These are all good questions.
Wouldn't have that free will.
That death was final.
Go ahead, Ashley. What do you think?
These are all good questions. These are questions that we all ask. We may not verbally ask them, but we think about them. You know, when you read this story of the Garden of Eden and you see these two trees in there, why did God just stick them in there? Wouldn't it have been God just say you could go and eat the tree, just put the tree of life in there? Why would he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Can I add one thing, Matt?
Yeah.
I'm jumping in your lesson book, the middle of page 69. I'm going to back up a little bit from where you are.
Okay.
And re-emphasize something. The tree of life was put in there in the garden. It was Adam's choice to eat the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a key statement.
Mm-hmm.
It was Adam's choice to eat the tree of life. It was Adam's choice to eat or not to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
So did he have free will before Eve made the decision to eat it?
Absolutely. He was created with free will.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the struggle of how does a sovereign God who is in control over everything, who took Adam and with his power placed him in the garden and still as a creator over creation had control over him, choose to give his creation free will. And that is an essential foundational point as we progress, and it's this foundational building block. Never forget the choice that God gave man. And he gave man that choice because of the other characteristics that we've been talking about the last couple weeks. Because he loves us, because that's what he wanted. It's the way he designed it. Why he did it? Because he didn't want a bunch of human robots. He didn't want animals. They were good. He wanted something that was very good, so he gave us free will. It's one of the greatest. It's the second greatest gift that we're going to talk about.
The way you just explained it answers Kevin's question, do angels have free will?
That's correct.
A couple lessons ago, Kevin asked that question, do angels have free will? And Lynn just answered that in not so many words. He didn't use the word angels in there, but the answer to if the angels had free will, then they can choose what they want to do. And angels are created for God and for Him.
So do you think that angels will forever have free will? And if so, what of us?
Well, the answer is not the answer is not going to be completely answered until you get to week 8. But you're hearing what Lynn is saying about this choice of free will. If God didn't create Adam with that, and think about it, Adam is creating in God's image, his mind, will, and emotions. So if we're created in God's image with mind, will, and emotions, and God took away free will for us, what's that going to make us like? Robots, like Glenn said. Yes, Cody.
Kind of thinking back to that night that we had prayer night, and I brought the flowers. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not married, so I can't really speak much for it. But you know, it's kind of the same concept as you buy flowers for your wife every day. That appreciation kind of deteriorates after a while because it's almost like expected. You know, so we don't really know the difference of what to appreciate and accept as a blessing, even as God's presence, you know. It's always natural, it's always there. So we can't actually acknowledge it and just say, you know, like we can't appreciate it. So if it's something that occurs and we actually have to seek for, or like look for, you know, it's something we can actually like appreciate a lot more. So maybe after he made that choice, it allowed us to actually have to make that decision.
Okay. Good.
So the tree of life, that's everlasting life?
Yes, as long as Adam ate of the tree of life, he would live. And it was a choice. He had to choose to do that.
She just mentioned something to me that come out.
Question?
I want to share. And that's that it seems like it's part of his plan of wanting us to.
Okay. Part of his plan. That's true. Johnny?
Did hell exist at that time?
I can't answer that. Can you hold on to that question? Let me put it this way. The book has a big gray box that says, do not talk about that four-letter word. So, but hold on to that because that will come up.
Write that down.
So, Adam didn't know what death was.
He had no idea what death was.
And yet, God told him, don't eat from that, or you will surely die.
Correct.
So, die in what way?
So, he didn't know.
So,
but he didn't know what that meant.
If he knew what the consequence was.
Okay.
He killed the cat type of thing.
Here's what it is.
So we just read Genesis 2:16 or 17. God warns Adam that disobeying him by eating of this tree is going to bring death, right?
Right.
Go ahead.
I'm curious why Ashley is saying that Adam did not know what death was.
Because of what he heard.
Okay, are you referring to when I said evil?
No, I said that Adam didn't know what death was like because there was no death on the earth at that point. He had never seen death. He had never experienced
it. I'm not sure we can answer positively to Adam that God did not explain what death was. We don't know that. So I'm not sure.
That's an accurate statement.
I don't know if I'm right in saying that or not. But you raise a good question. But I feel like it's an answer that I'm not sure that we can definitively say. Yeah, I don't know.
You have to think about God. If God is going to tell something, let's try to put it on our level. If the government would have said the speed limit is 55 miles an hour, and if you go over that, you're going to go to prison. But they never told you what prison was like. or told you about prison, but they just said you're going to go to prison if you go over that, you would have a hard time understanding that. God loved Adam. God had authority. God is sovereign. There's no verse here in this passage that says that God did not explain it to Adam, what death was. But if God truly loved Adam, I think God would have, maybe I'm sticking my own thoughts into this, so be careful with what you're hearing here. Don't take it as the word of God, because I'm human, so I will make mistakes.
Amen.
But God loved Adam.
Right. I was just agreeing with you.
Okay, I'm sitting here with you saying, did he find something? I believe Adam was not a robot. Matter of fact, later on, you're going to see here, if you read through this, that Adam named all the animals. So if God made Adam that intelligent to be able to, as an animal comes up to him, be able to say, you're a giraffe, you're a zebra, and give him these names, Adam was pretty smart. And a loving God just not going to say, oh, you eat of this tree, you're going to die. He would have explained to Adam what death was. And we're going to see some of the different aspects of death here in a little bit. When you think about this, So Lynn and I, we're good friends. All right? We used to be. Yeah, after tonight, we might not be. But if Lynn has a strong disagreement with me, or me vice versa, what does that do to us? It causes tension, and a lot of times we don't want to be around each other. Is that right? You don't. I mean, if you're married and you have a disagreement with your spouse, what do? You shut down, you quiet, you separate, you get out of the room, you leave, you go to the shed, the dog house, the guy needs to go to the dog house. But you think about this, disobeying God for Adam meant death. That meant separation. That meant no longer being able to communicate directly with God. And so God warned him of that. He gave him that strict, firm warning. You eat of this. I can just imagine God saying that. Adam, you eat of this tree. You're going to die. And what that means is that you and I are no longer going to be able to talk like this. You and I are no longer going to be able to have that one-on-one contact.
I think he would have to explain what death is to Adam, because maybe I'm going a couple lessons ahead, but when Satan was putting up an argument, basically kind of justifying or saying the complete opposite of what God was saying when he was telling Eve that, you won't necessarily...
Well, you got to hold that.
Okay.
You can't go there.
Let me show you...
This is something that Lynn used in the first lesson that I sat in, and what is this? It's a holly branch, right? And we cut this, I cut it off here tonight. As long as it was attached, as long as it was that?
I said it's surely going to die.
It's surely going to die,
right.
As long as it's attached to the tree, it's going to have life, right? The only way that would not have life is if you ripped the tree right up from the roots, right? And even then, I've seen trees ripped out of the ground from the roots, and they still keep growing. As long as the branches still produce leaves for many, many, many months, or even a year or so later as it's laying there on the ground. But if I cut this, since I've cut this away, and we're going to keep this here for a while because you're going to see what this happens over a period of time. But when you cut it off, it's going to die. It lost its life source, and God was explaining what would happen with Adam. If you eat of that tree, I'm cutting you off. You're done. You go against what I said. Let me see if I can. I don't know if it's up here just yet. He kind of gives us the verse there. And then he says, for in the day you, I don't know if you can read that, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God was laying out the penalty for sin. The penalty for sin. He laid that completely out there. And he said, if you do this, death is the penalty. There is no if, and, buts about it. You're going to die. So, I like what it says in there. Here lies the remains of mankind. You're going to die a spiritual death. Okay? And what that means is separation of man's spirit from God. So, when Adam, if Adam was going to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, his spirit was going to be separated from God. It's going to just be cut off. Oh, yes, Kevin.
Do you think that that's when he also enabled plant life and animal life to die as well?
Okay. Yeah. Well, what you're asking is if he was good, if Adam ate of this, then the rest of plant life and everything else was going to die as well. Right? Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah. And if he didn't, would they have ended up forever?
That's a good question.
Yes, because there was no death. There was no death in the world.
So it would have been then the world started.
If Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then...
So in the beginning is then when the world started to die.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when God said that, if Adam walked over and took a piece of that fruit and ate of it, then the rest of the world would have died as well. So, but you'll find that we'll see that answer in another week or two.
Sorry, week 10.
That's in week 10.
Week 10.
Yeah. For that, what you're referring to there. So you're going to have a spiritual death, and so Adam is going to have his spirit separated from God's spirit. He's going to die a physical death. And that means that separation of man's spirit from his body. Okay? His spirit would leave his body. And we know that today. We see that. And then eternal death. Anybody know what eternal death is? Anybody thought about it? Have you ever thought about eternal death?
Yes. I can't say that word.
Forever.
Huh?
Death. Forever dead.
We can't say that word? Why can't we say that word?
I would look at it as more of like hell.
I'm going to change.
He's wrong.
Actually, that's not the case, but.
That is definitely wrong.
Yes,
emphatically, he is wrong.
There is spiritual death. Yeah.
It's still not hell.
No, it's not.
Hell is not up there.
No, it's not.
Hell is not up there.
Eternal death
is
this.
Of hell. I don't know what it is. It's cold in here right now.
Believe me, it ain't cold.
Just kidding.
This is what eternal death is. It is separation of man's body, soul, and spirit from God forever. So, this is what Adam. These three deaths are what Adam was going to face if he chose to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. These three deaths. And when you think about that, well, what goes to your mind when you see them three deaths?
It's a process.
The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Does this, I was thinking about Brenda's question last week. Was it last week or maybe the week before? But she asked the question, does your spirit, when you die, when a person dies, does their spirit come back in another form of life or something like this? Does this answer your question?
Yes.
And you don't have to answer that, but if it doesn't answer your question, just keep hold on to that question, because as we go along, you'll probably get the answer to it. But I had to think about that question that she asked, and the answer is it is up there. I will just say that.
If my spirit would be separated from God forever, he wouldn't then reunite with my spirit to put it somewhere else.
That's correct. So, these three deaths. Any other thoughts? Any thoughts about them? Have you ever thought about these three deaths? Johnny, are you going to say this four-letter word again?
If eternal death is separation of a man's body, soul, spirit from God forever, the only way that is possible is when we do die, and if we haven't made that choice to follow Jesus Christ or taken.
We can't talk about that.
Okay.
you're going to the end of the lesson.
That's
the
right.
So you just wanted to say.
Then don't put that definition up there.
This definition needs to be here.
Real, separation of man's body.
I want to probe a little bit. You mind?
Go ahead.
I want to probe you, Johnny. Why are you saying not to put that up there?
No, the separation of man's body, soul, and spirit. The only from God forever. The only way that happens is when you die and go to hell.
Wrong.
Come back.
Wrong. So you're automatic, and that's why I wanted to probe this. You're automatically associating eternal death with hell. And I want you to have a disconnect there.
Just the definition.
It's the word forever as well.
Excellent. But I want you to have a disconnect. I want you to disconnect hell from this death. And that's very important, because you're gonna next week we're gonna talk about this. We'll explain it. But if you see, death is separation. Eternal death is separation of man's body, soul, and spirit from God forever. Where that separation is at is distinctly different from the actual separation.
Notice these three deaths, though. They are a result, and to maybe help you out, Johnny, what is there? What are they the penalty for?
Sin.
Okay? So these three deaths are the penalty for that three-letter word, sin.
Right.
Okay, you have to keep that in mind. Yeah. Okay, and if you take that away, then what you're asking is...
Yeah. And Johnny, after next week, you can tie those two together.
Somewhat.
Okay. Somewhat. But, and I may be splitting hairs here a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's just so, we automatically think of hell, you automatically think of the punishment for sin is hell. That is an inaccurate statement. It is an incomplete statement.
Well, right.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that.
Incomplete.
I agree without doubt 100%. But the only way for us to be truly separated from God.
You got to stop right there.
Right.
Yeah, you can't say that tonight.
You can't say that tonight.
Yeah, I can't say that.
That's where this. You were coming at it from an aspect that some of the stuff we have, that we think up here, we know up here, we haven't learned that. And so we have to understand that these three deaths are God's penalty for sin. And that's what he told Adam.
And hell is not one of them.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right. And I will...
That's what I'm trying to get through.
Throw hell out.
Clear.
Hell is not the penalty for sin. Throw that out. Mm. I know some of you are questioning that, but throw that out of your mind. Hell is not the penalty for sin. It goes against a lot of stuff that we've been taught as kids growing up, but it is not the penalty for sin. Penalty for sin is death. These three deaths.
And if you're questioning and determining, saying, I'm not coming back next week because you're not teaching truth, come back next week and it'll all make sense.
Are you okay?
I have a question then.
I'm good with asking questions. Where did Adam go then?
Yeah.
He died. Or
he hasn't died.
Where would people go after they die?
We haven't
got there
yet.
Yeah.
It's not there yet.
Okay.
Right.
No, you can't. See,
this is all
we're talking about is what God said to Adam.
Right.
He said, you eat of this tree, you will die, and you're going to die 3 deaths.
Yep.
Poor Johnny. This is...
We'll go to next week.
All right,
thinking God and Adam in the garden talking about this, you know. If you do this, if you eat from this tree, you will surely die.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat from this tree, you will live. So, if I'm Adam, thinking in my head, I'm like, all right, this is what he said, but what is this? It's like speeding. You know what? I think I'm all right if I'm 10 over, but if I go 15 or 20 over, they might give me a bigger fine. That's not worth it, but I'll take a chance at 10 over.
And knowing this, you have to recognize that God is sovereign, and that God is not going to just throw Adam out there. God placed him in the garden for a specific purpose, for a specific reason. He's telling him, you're going to manage the garden, you're going to take care of it, and God is in control. We have to get our minds around that a God that tells you, you eat of this tree of life, or you eat of this tree, without giving you any explanation as to what death is, or even what life is. Adam didn't know what life was. All he knew that God breathed into him. And at that point, that was it. He didn't know what eternal life was. He didn't know that if you eat the tree of life, you live forever. He didn't know what forever was. So you would have to you'd have to believe that, you have to recognize that God is sovereign. He controls. He's over all. He is above all. He didn't need Adam. But he loved Adam enough, loved man enough that he was going to create him. And then to think that God would just stick someone out there and not tell them the consequences of sin, that's not love.
I think also with that, and page 73, Matt.
You're jumping ahead. You're in there at the end. Go ahead.
But I think what's also that we don't quite understand is that Adam had an intellectual... an emotional connection to God being perfect that you and I can't understand.
Let me throw this out there.
And so to say that Adam did not understand when God said death, that God was pulling a punishment on him that he couldn't comprehend, and so therefore it was not a fair choice, not even closely remotely accurate, or because we don't understand the relationship that Adam had with God as a perfect man with a perfect God.
And we would be calling out God's character. We would be basically saying God's character is flawed when we do that. God's character cannot be flawed. He's perfect. Everything he's created up to that point is perfect. So, in essence, we're basically calling God a liar, or saying, God, your character, your attributes, there's not perfect.
I'm going to go back to something. In fact, I need to stand up, because I've got to walk what I think. this issue of hell... being separated from eternal death. You see, if we automatically tie hell to the punishment of sin is hell, we are missing some of the core characteristics of who God is and God's heart for man. And next week, we'll build on that. We'll talk about this question of, did God create hell? Did God create hell for man? Is, you know, what all these things. As we deal with that next week, this stuff will begin to make sense. And there's another word that you need to set the picture here, that when what God said to Adam was going to happen, three deaths. And by the way, as you go through this class, you better memorize these three, because the test that we take at the end will be, your grade will solely depend on these. I mean, that will be a part of the test, let's put it that way. With this will be rehashed over and over again. Matt will ask you, so just learn it now, then you're done. You're saying, what test?
There is no test. I'm teacher, and I've never seen the test.
But this penalty of sin is death. God told Adam this. Just accept it at this right now. Because as we move through, and in 2 weeks when we talk about the fall, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and then we go to week 9, or then we see God's response to Adam and Eve, then it makes sense. Then this stuff all sort of ties together. But at this juncture, drive into your brain that this is the penalty of sin. The other stuff will come along, and if you can grasp this, when you see God's response to Adam, it brings life to it, and it brings you an awe of God that says, wow, God, that's awesome. But if you immediately tie sin to hell, you're missing something. You're going to miss a characteristic of God. Is that fair?
Basically, stop thinking so much and just like wait until the lesson's cleaned up.
Let your brain go. Let it go. But accept your teacher when he says
right.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt.
That's okay.
No. So, what we've learned here tonight is that God had the authority to tell Adam, don't eat of this tree. Why? Why did God have that authority?
Because he made him.
Because he made him, right. He gave Adam life. What? Because he loved Adam, right? And because God is wiser than Adam. God's full of wisdom. So just as God had the right to do that for Adam, why does God have the right to teach us?
Because
he made us, and he loves us, and he wants the best for us. And again, he's wiser than us. That's why he gave us his story. That's why he gave us this to read. The Word, the Bible, the Good Book. Any last questions and last thoughts? Okay, all right. I'm going to go ahead and shut this off.